In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I collect misquoted as well as unquoted pieces of Scripture. There are those pieces of Scripture that we think are in the Bible but are not. For example, God helps those who help themselves. Try as you might, you won't find it in the Bible. Along with, if God will get you to it, then he'll surely get you through it. That's not there either. Pastor Latch gave me another one yesterday morning on the way out of church. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible either. Then there are those passages that are taken so grandly out of context that you can make it say something that is abhorrent to the message of Holy Scripture. Here's an example. Judas went and hanged himself. Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." One of those passages we have before us this evening from our Lord: "Judge not, and you will not be judged." Often this is used in public as a way to end a conversation. Oftentimes it is someone who is outside of the household of faith that uses it upon a Christian. When a Christian does speak, as we just sang in the hymn, "But when and in my place I must and ought to speak." And then we forget the other couplet: "Then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak." And that's usually when someone will say, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Don't you Christians believe in that? Isn't it in your Bible?" And even we use it against other Christians. If one Christian says something that another Christian doesn't like, let's take for example, pastor said something in a sermon or a Bible class that I didn't like. It's unloving, it's uncaring, and frankly, it's going to make me mad. So I'll just send him an email that says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Have a nice day." Our Lord here is speaking about a different kind of judgment, a judgment that is far beyond just saying something. This is a judgment that punishes the obvious sins of your neighbor in order to improve yourself before your neighbor. What our Lord here is condemning in Luke chapter 6 is one-upmanship. One-upmanship is self-love that is focused away from the God who created you and gives you everything you need to support your body and your life. It's thinking that you have won friends and influenced people by the mic drop moment. I win the argument by stopping the argument by saying, "Judge not, and you will not be judged." You have something now to hold over not only your Lord, but your neighbor. It is as if you are saying to both, "I'm better than you. I don't say and do those petty things that you do. Now, if you'll watch me, you'll see how a real Christian lives. And in fact, I don't need to be a Christian to live an upright moral life. Just watch me." Okay. Then our Lord continues, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye?" Again, another mic drop moment. "Oh, you can't talk about this or that because, you see, you have a 2x4 in your eye, much larger than my little speck. Judge not, and you will not be judged." It's hard to see what sickens you when you are too busy nosing around in your neighbor's sicknesses, looking for dirty laundry to air before others in order to make you look good and him look bad. Our Lord is using hyperbole here about logs and specks. But he makes his point clear. When you shoot your mouth off about your neighbor's sins, you are missing the obvious target because there is a giant 2x4 that's sticking out of your eye socket. Okay, how about another one? "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Oh, goodness, now we get to the good stuff. Mercy. God's mercy rests on you in the forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake. And how do we deal with that after we have received it? Well, we turn right around to our neighbor and show her no mercy when you judge her toward condemning her instead of covering them up and forgiving her her sins. That's what you do. You take the mercy, put it in your pocket, and live according to your neighbor how you think things ought to be. How do you think things ought to have been when Noah, not long after he got off the ark, had too many bottles of wine and got himself drunk? And he was far from the tent. And, oh, by the way, he also took off his clothes to show off his birthday suit. How are we going to get Dad back to the tent? His sons took a blanket and walked on four sides of him and covered up his nakedness, turning their back to their dad, kind of walking with a side shuffle, in order not to turn around and see Dad's birthday suit. And they got him back to the tent. The kind of stuff that our Lord is warning against in the Holy Gospel this evening is the kind of thing that people would do in order to get attention. I'm just going to drop one corner of this blanket and let the whole world see Noah's nakedness. That way I'll be famous. The man who showed off Noah's bare bottom. It'll go viral. I'll end up on television. I'll get interviewed. And I might even be able to monetize it. You'd also be caught in the sin of judging and condemning your neighbor. This shows you are a spiritually haughty, self-righteous hypocrite. James chapter 2 says, "Judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy." And if you look around, you will discover that we have a room full this evening of recovering hypocrites. Hard to believe, I know, but it's true. You would not be here if you were not a recovering hypocrite, trying to get over not doing and saying and living as you ought to do, say, and live. So we listen to our Lord's words once again. "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." It's grammar time. The first time all of these verbs are used, they are used in the imperative. You remember the imperative, don't you, from school? The imperative is literally God saying, "Hey, you! Do this now! Judge not, forgive not, condemn not, now." But then the verbs change tense. The first two verbs concerning judgment and condemnation are in the aspect of something that has already happened and continue to happen today. You will not be judged. You will not be condemned. These proclaim the joy of Christ's all-sufficient death applied to you through believing that Jesus has been judged and condemned in your place. Jesus, you see, dies for hypocrites. He dies for judges. He dies for condemners. He only knows how to give and to forgive. His redemption for you remains true today as it was when Jesus first had mercy in his innocent suffering and death. And our Lord's redemption will continue to be true even on Judgment Day. You will not be judged. You will, but you'll be judged innocent, not guilty. You will not be condemned. You will be forgiven. It will be given to you. What is it? Mercy. As it is given to you now, in your baptism, in eating and drinking the Lord's Supper, in receiving the forgiveness of sins and holy absolution, so you will again receive mercy face to face from Jesus on that day. For where his word goes, there also his spirit goes with his word, calling and gathering the church to be made holy. And Christians, boy, they're ever consumed with their holiness, wondering if I qualify. The blood of Jesus says, "Oh yes, you qualify. You are holy in the blood, in the righteousness." Yesterday, we saw that wonder in the making once again as Eleanor Ann was made an heir of everlasting life in holy baptism. Another recovering hypocrite to add to the rolls. I love it. How then is Christ's mercy given to you? Jesus gives the look. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Think of a woman wearing an apron. She's sitting down and she's shelling peas or snapping green beans. And she has her apron full of them. And the faster she snaps and throws them into a bucket or throws them into a bowl, or the faster she shells, the more someone comes along and dumps another load in her apron. And it gets pressed down, shaken together, and the next thing you know, it's running over and she's calling one of the grandkids over to come pick up the peas or the green beans off the floor. That's the way of our Heavenly Father's giving to you and to me. Always more. Always more forgiveness. Always more redemption. He keeps giving. And you keep receiving. And all the while you say, amen. Jesus then says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. What our Lord here is not saying is what goes around comes around. It is instead the way that a baptized child of God lives, a full apron of God's grace, his undeserved one-way love for sinners. And we share it. And I don't need to stand up here and bark at you to share it, because you share it. That's how you live in Christ. You know no other way than to share, to give that has been given to you. You can try to run like Eddie did, but the Lord will catch you and still give you his grace anyway and bring you back to his house. You hold out your hands and give it away, because that's how you got it. Jesus held out his hands and gave it to you. What great measure of mercy you have received from God, that you are called his beloved child. He's washed you clean of sin, fed you with his precious body and blood, implanted the seed of word into your life so that your hands and your feet and your mouth and your apron again and again and again receive this mercy, that is so that you can give it away too, and that others may be given to as you have been given to. For you are judged worthy. Worthy of everlasting life. Because of Jesus, the merciful Savior, who has mercy upon unrighteous people who judge and condemn. People who keep praying those middle two stanzas of the hymn of the day, the one that begins, keep me from saying words that later need recalling. Ever have one of those days? Every day for me. But when you must speak up, and those are times when you must speak up, let your words have grace. And always look for a Nathan too. Someone who's willing to call sin to your attention. Not for a mic drop, beloved, but that you might receive forgiveness. Forgiveness that comes from Jesus and his blood-stained, scarred hands and side for you. What an amazing Savior we have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess the faith with the Apostles' Creed.
church, the communion.